Welcome to this Leftovers podcast. We're going to talk about the Bible today. I'm Melissa Locke.
And I'm Greg Meyer.
I'm Chris Tripolino.
Imagine that, talking about the Bible. We think this book is worth walking with over time, worth having a relationship with. But I got to tell you, there are those moments. January 25th, a few days ago, there was a chapter that I had some trouble with.
You may be thinking about that verse in chapter 9 in Deuteronomy. We're working through Deuteronomy where it says, "Know then today that the Lord your God is the one who crosses over before you as a devouring fire. He will defeat them and subdue them before you so that you may possess and destroy them quickly as the Lord has promised you."
Yeah.
Was it that verse?
That one.
Yeah, okay.
So who wants to read the Bible now?
All the middle school kids. yeah.
So what do we do when we kind of bump into those passages, when we, you know, we seem to be walking right along and then we just stumble across these things that really do feel like we're stumbling? They kind of catch us off guard or pop in these big questions that can really throw us off.
There are a couple of options, I suppose. I mean, one is you could just quit reading.
Which a lot of people have done.
Yeah, and probably can't blame them too much for
right.
it.
Yeah.
Another one is like, I'm going to dig in. I'm going to figure out what this is all about. Or maybe even a simpler way is to put a question mark in the column and the margin next to that, or maybe write the word ugh or whatever. The fact is that these are old writings. The people who wrote this are not only separated from us by a vast distance of culture, but also of time. And so we can't necessarily expect everything to, isn't that a wonderful little tidbit today that I got out of that? There's going to be some tough stuff here.
Sometimes you just got to keep walking. You got to keep moving through that. And yeah.
Right.
But what about this one, though? I mean, that it feels like in a lot of ways, taking that deeper approach is what you've done with your education and your approach to bringing the Bible to
life for us, and to bring us life.
Yeah. Right. You know, and the first thing I have to say about that doesn't mean that it all makes sense now. I mean, it is so distant from us that, and we do think so differently, that some things we will probably never quite figure out even what they meant, let alone like why they thought this was valuable. Mm-hmm. And, we've talked a little bit about the fact that I think all really valuable things in life have a tendency to not be terribly efficient. You get in there, you live with it, you dwell in it, and you gradually start, you know, having things awaken within you, and you realize, wow, oh, I get it now, you know. So I think we maybe want to caution some of our interest in just tossing the Bible away with this idea that, well, maybe it isn't going to be really efficient or won't figure it out right now, but in the long run, I'm going to start seeing what's going on here. But really, to help us understand some of these passages about all the warfare, and there's a lot of warfare in the Old Testament. There's a lot of killing. There's a lot of things that we find very, very objectionable today and probably weren't all that fun in that day either, but it's a common thing. And how do we deal with that? And I think there's a couple of things here. And first of all, and we talk about this a lot when we talk about trying to understand the Bible, is keep the main thing, all right? In other words, don't let an individual passage like this tell you or give you an idea of what the whole Bible is about. No, why you want to stick with it and you want to get the bigger picture of the Bible so that you let this biggest picture of what the heart of the Bible is about help you understand what these individual pieces are. Mm-hmm. So as we've been reading in the book of Deuteronomy and we find this warfare passage, what we've kept coming back to is that Israel, you know, God is constantly telling Israel that there's two main things. There's the covenant that you are blessed to be a blessing, and there is the Shema that, Deuteronomy 6:4-5, and then we find it in Leviticus 19:18, and that is simply love the Lord God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And remembering that the Lord your God is one Lord. There's only, you know, one. You can't have a multiplicity of main things in your life. Mm-hmm. So what that says, first of all that says is that you are blessed to be a blessing. You're not blessed to go and conquer and kill other people. Right. And it also tells you that loving your neighbor is quintessential. So maybe destroying your neighbor doesn't quite fit in. So what that tells me then is when I read a passage like this, maybe on the outside it sounds, you know, the outside part of it, the external reading is about destroying other people, but there's really a different message being conveyed.
Go a little deeper.
Yeah, we need to go deeper and see what is really being talked about.
I think the question, what if, like, what if there's a different way to read this, is I find it helpful.
Right, and I think there is, and I think even ancient Israel wanted us to do more than tell us that we're supposed to go around conquering people who disagree with us. I think this is very metaphorical, or actually, I think in terms of literary study, this would be called allegorical. And so, who are these people? One of the interesting cues in is you're supposed to go and drive these people out, right? And who are they? Well, if you go back just two chapters to chapter 7, verse 1, you actually find them enumerated. We find out it's the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites.
Did you say Perizzites?
It sounded like I did, but it was actually Perizzites. You know, yeah, okay, so if you can get rid of all the itis that's in here. So these are the people that they're supposed to drive out of the promised land so they could occupy it themselves. Now, these passages are written in terms of geography and populations, right? Yeah, that's the allegory.
Sure what I hear.
Yep. How can you not hear it? But it's really about what does it mean for us to be the people who could occupy, who could live in some place, not even geographically, but could find a place in which we could live and be full, where we could answer that question, which we were talking about from Deuteronomy, of how do I find life? Mm-hmm. And what are the things you need to drive out in order to do that? Now, there's a cue right away in that list of Hittites, Girgashites, Amorites, Canaanites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites that I just mentioned. Mm-hmm. If you were really sharp, you counted how many I said. How many was it?
It was seven.
It was seven. Okay. So there were seven of them. Now, if you know anything about Judaism, a couple thousand years ago, that number seven is really, really important.
Yeah.
And it's like the totality of all things. In other words, anything that is going to be keeping you from being the person you need to be in the place that you need to be, you need to get rid of that. Hmm. What if, rather than being about geography and populations, it was really about what are the things that you need to drive out of your life so that the place where you are, the lifestyle, the situation, the Sitzenleben that you are in, could be a promised land. You're going to ruin it. You're not going to pollute it with all the other stuff you did. What if instead of calling them Hittites, Girgashites, Amorites, Canaanites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites, it was power, prestige, possessions, shame, fear, comparison, worry. I mean, you make up your own seven. But in God is saying, you have to drive them out utterly. You cannot leave any remnant of shame in this, or it will not be a promised land for you.
Yeah.
So the reference of their gods, I mean, so they talk about the Hittites and their foreign gods, but they're really talking about these other things that are trying to
take that place.
Take that place, right. Yeah. And there's only, in Yahweh, your God, is one. There's only one. This is a centrality. You can't let other things be in there. Now, Israel had a wonderful forgiving message that they messed up on this, and God kept pulling them back and reminding them, helped them find out it isn't an all or nothing sort of thing, but it's what we're striving for.
And God said, I am with you driving. I give you the power to drive these things out. And we need to do that together.
So I guess the big takeaway on this is you're going to find stuff in the Bible you just have no idea what to figure out. Expect it to be that way because this is a really foreign document. Mm-hmm. But also find that these people worked really, really hard to find stuff that was incredibly important to them and instructive to them, and they tried to find ways to share it. And sometimes you just can't read through it, and sometimes we never are going to read through the distance, the cultural, and the time difference. And then just keep reading. Yep. Just keep walking. Put the mark in your margin and say, don't read this again. You know, I don't care. But sometimes you can dig into these, and you're going to find some stuff that actually not only helps you understand why it's there, but actually helps you understand why it was a useful thing for you to hear.
Yeah. Well, one last thing, too, that I want to think about with this is that as you are walking, you will find that sometimes these things that you thought were just distractions or just sort of, were not helpful. Sometimes you get a little further down the road and you look at those things again and you might discover something new that I think that's one of the real benefits of continuing that walk, you know, that you get different pictures of this depending on your perspective.
And I like the what if piece. You don't have to necessarily dive into a whole lot of biblical scholarship to unpuzzle some of these things. Just try your own little what ifs. If you find something that's really puzzling, say, well, what if it meant this? And then explore that. It's a great, I mean, that's what Jewish scholars did for millennia. They just, that's what the Midrash.
And there's value just, that is the value in the wrestling, in the relationship. And
asking questions, seeing where it leads you and your thoughts and stuff like that. And let the Bible be a springboard for your own weaving of life with God, self, and others.
So we hope this has been helpful for you to keep walking with this book. Thanks for listening. Let us know what you find, what you discover, what you wonder, and keep walking.